Thank you, Josh, for those songs. Thank you, Don, for your clicking skills. You clicked great. You did a great job. Don was worried he was going to have to sit by the door to make a fast exit, but he did fine. I'd like to welcome everybody today. We have a few visitors with us, some from in town, some from out of town. Tennessee's represented. They volunteered to come to worship. That's a bad one. That's bad. They volunteered. Anyway, we're glad that you decided to come and worship with us. A couple of announcements and a couple of prayer requests real quick before we get into our lesson. Niger has bronchitis. She had been traveling and has gotten sick. She has bronchitis. We need to remember her. And many of you know Murr Deputy. She used to attend here. She attends the Victory Road congregation in Henderson. Now, she had foot surgery Friday. It's very painful. Is going to be homebound for 2 weeks. We need to remember her. It is good to have Tracy and Marion back from their excursions abroad, and very good to see Stacy here, the bionic lady. Had hip surgery last Monday and is here today. So there might be a lesson in that, some about not missing services or something. That's we also have a prayer request, and this probably hits home to a lot of us. Trish Anderson is requesting prayers. She's hitting a financial crunch right now. Times are hard. And she has a few decisions she's going to be making in the future. She may be getting another job, which will help things. Doesn't know whether to move within town or maybe move to where her family is in Tennessee, different job or whatever. But times are tough, and I like the last comment she made here, that the next decision that God would want us to make is where we can best serve Him, and ultimately that's what we should all be living our lives for anyway, regardless of the circumstance. But let's remember Trish right now, and I'm sure Trish is not the only one that's feeling the crunch right now. It's if you've gone to the grocery store, if you've gone to the gas station, you know what's going on. So let's go to God in prayer real quick on behalf of these, and then we will get into our lesson. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you thanking you for all the blessings that you give us. We ask that you please forgive us for the things that we do wrong. Dear God, we are so thankful for those blessings. We're thankful for members that have been traveling that are back with us. We're thankful that Stacy's surgery went so well, and we ask continued recovery for her. Dear God, we ask that you be with Murr as she's recovering from surgery, and be with Niger as she's dealing with bronchitis. We hope that the medicines and any treatments that she's given will help her. Dear God, we ask that you be right now with Trisha and her family. Be with all of us as we're living in times that are unsettling, to say the least. We ask that you be with us, strengthen us, help us always make the right decisions that ultimately, as Trish said, to best serve you. Dear God, be with us. Be with the circumstances in her life that the financial situation will improve. Be with all of us. Be with us the rest of this worship service. And let everything be done in spirit and truth and pleasing to you. We pray everything through your Son, Jesus. Amen. The basis of our lesson today is going to be taken from Romans 12, verse 2. And Jeff read that to us earlier. Paul wrote, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We're going to be focusing on the idea of do not be conformed. I remember my mom growing up had a whole set of those Jell-O molds. We had one that looked just like that, kind of that bunk cake pan looking thing. We had... I remember a pineapple, of all things, a fish. Why you'd want anything in the shape of a fish, I don't know. Seems like there was a few others. But whatever you put in it would take the shape of that and would conform, whether it be Jell-O or a cake or whatever, and it would take the shape and take on the look of that mold. And that's what being conformed does. You're taking on the characteristics of something else. You're copying it. I've seen numerous times where friends or associates or just people that are in close proximity for a long period of time, they kind of start acting like each other. They will maybe take on phrases of each other. And that's not uncommon. Conforming to something, you pattern yourself after maybe the looks, the behavior, the speech pattern, attitude. And it goes both ways. Somebody might pattern themselves after you, or you pattern yourself after somebody else. The bottom line is, if it walks, quacks, and looks like a duck, it usually is. Okay, and then I guess maybe Rich Little or something. But if you're taking on those characteristics, that's what you're patterning yourself. You're conforming. And we don't want, Paul is warning us, do not be conformed to this world. God has blessed us. There is no doubt of that. He's given us while we're on this earth, for whatever time He's granted. He's given us a wonderful world to live in. Wonderful blessings, great joys. But He's also given us reminders, this is not our home. This is not the end result. He gives us plenty of reminders of what this world is about pain and loss and struggles and heartaches and separations and struggles financially, health, relationships, whatever it is. We don't need to get too comfortable here. He's given us great blessings while we're here. But we don't need to get too comfortable. And that's what Paul is saying. Do not be conformed to this world. In Luke 12, verses 4 and 5, Jesus says, "And I say to you," this is Jesus talking, "my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after he is killed, has the power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. We're not here forever. And Jesus is telling his followers, you worry about the end result, eternity. And it goes along with what Paul says about not being conformed, and what is it that we should fear and focus on and all of that. The Apostle Peter addresses this same issue in 1 Peter 2, verse 11. He says, "Beloved, I beg you." Those are some strong words right there. Beloved. These are not strangers to him. These are people that are dear to him. And he says, "Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul." He is saying, we're here temporarily. We're sojourners. We're not here but for a short time. And it goes right along with what the Apostle Paul says. Don't get too wrapped up in this world, because we're not here forever. Don't be conformed to this world. Romans 6, verse 11, Paul says, "Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord." It is hard. This is easier said than done. We're living in the world. We have to eat, we have to work, we have to pay the light bill. But to die to ourselves, that's easier said than done. But Paul is saying, consider yourselves, reckon yourselves to be dead to sin. Die to sin. Let it no longer reign in you. In Colossians, he says the same thing. It sounds like the people of that time, it wasn't easy for them to understand either, because he's having to tell it the same thing to a few different groups of Christians. He says, "Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them." It's talking about past tense. "But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth." We are to die to sin. Consider ourselves dead to this world. We got to live here. We got to be here for a short time. But this is not our permanent dwelling place. Die to self. We've used the comparison many times, as Paul did in Romans, about how Jesus died, was buried in the grave for 3 days, and rose up anew and was resurrected to a new life. And the comparison for us, we die to ourselves, are buried in baptism. And when we are come up out of the waters of baptism, we are a new creature. There would be no reason to be baptized if you're going to continue living that same old life. I think Tracy says, if you don't change, you go in a sinner, come up a wet sinner. That's the only difference. You've got to die to self. And that's where it all starts, is dying to yourself, not being conformed to this world. We see that in Romans 6. Paul says, what shall we say then? Previously, in chapter 5, Paul was talking about the glory of grace. How this idea of grace is something, it's a gift of God. We cannot work our way and do enough for the grace that we need. If that's what makes the sacrifice of Jesus so great. We all have enough grace of what we need. And some were wondering, well, if the more we sin, God gives some more grace, why not just sin more? What a deal. You just get more grace. Paul addresses that concept. Says in verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus, we're baptized into his death. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. The Apostle John says the same thing. In 1 John 2, verses 15 and 16, he says, do not love the world. He just comes right out. I don't know how plainer John could be. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. That is as plain as words could come up with. And it goes right along with what Paul said in Romans, don't be conformed to this world. In Acts 14, Barnabas and Paul were in Lystra, and they had healed a man that he was a full-grown adult, and they had healed a man that had been crippled from birth. And the people, they were amazed. And they're starting to bring, now you got to remember this, they were filled with idolatry. They lived in a culture, what we call mythology. They believed in gods and goddesses. They were starting to call Barnabas and Paul Zeus and Hermes. They were starting to bring animals to sacrifice to them. that's the setting. And we see Paul says, men, why are you doing these things? We also are men with the same nature as you, and preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God, who made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all things that are in them. Quit being like this and become this. Don't be conformed to the world that you're used to. Change. Isn't that the story of salvation? Changing. Isn't that the story of each of us here? We're not the same person we used to be. We probably have the same interests and personality and likes and dislikes. That doesn't change. But we're not the same people. We're not looking out of the same eyes. We don't have the same lifestyle that we used to. We're not conformed to this world. In Ephesians, Paul told the Christians in Ephesus, he says, and you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all, he included himself, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. I find it interesting, this same story is repeated, the same message, the same concept is repeated time and time and time to different people throughout the New Testament. In 1 Corinthians, and this is where we're going to kind of wrap up, Paul wrote to the Christians in Corinth, this is a verse that I know I've used numerous times. Other men on Sunday nights have used this also. Paul is telling and addressing the Christians in Corinth. He says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Talk about a plain message. A straightforward black and white message that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. That group that Paul was addressing, he's making them aware, like they're not aware. You used to be those. You used to be like that. I shudder to think what some of our stories are. We used to be, but we quit conforming to the world. We were changed. And such were some of you, but you were washed. But you were sanctified, set apart. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. We were washed in baptism. We were cleansed. if we conform to this world and are baptized and stay conformed, all we did was get wet. If we keep living that life. Paul said, do not be conformed to this world. Next week, we're going to look at the next part of that verse, but be transformed. It's not enough just to quit being like you were. Okay? I've quit being that. Well, what do I do now? We will address that next week. If you haven't been washed, if you haven't been cleansed, if you're still being conformed in this world, you can change. You can change. We see scripture after scripture that people did change. If you need to answer the invitation through baptism, through repentance of sin, through prayers, if you've been looking for a church home, would like to identify with us, we would love to have you. Whatever your need, if you will come forward while Josh leads us in the invitation song, we will address your needs. Let's stand and sing.